If Krishna knows past, present and future, how do we reconcile that with the fact that we have free will? Or if we have free will, how do we reconcile that with Krishna's knowing past, or past, present and future? Firstly, Rupa Jiva Goswami explains in the Sandarbhas that when we approach Krishna, there is the concept of achintyatva, inconceivability, that needs to be understood. So what does inconceivability mean? He says that sometimes scripture talks about two attributes of God, or two spiritual principles. Now they seem contradictory to us, but they are not necessarily contradictory. Why? Because God can have powers that we don't have. So he says, if scripture is saying two statements, then, say for example, scripture says that the absolute truth is personal. And scripture also talks that the absolute truth is impersonal. So now, how that is so, that we don't know, but we accept both as true. Similarly, scripture is quite clear that we have free will. The end of the Bhagavad Gita is what? Krishna is arguing, asking Arjuna, ethechasi kathakuru, 18.63 says. And scripture is also clear that Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani. So in 18.63, Krishna is emphasizing our free will. In 7.25, he is saying that, 7.25-26, he says that no one knows, but he knows everything. So how is this to be reconciled? So I'll talk about three main points in this. First is that God's knowledge of the future is like our knowledge of the past. What does that mean? Our knowledge of the past is knowledge without control. I did something in the past, I know it, but I can't correct it right now. So now God's knowledge of the future is also knowledge without intervention. It is not that Krishna cannot intervene, but he chooses not to intervene because he respects our free will. So, it is not necessary that knowledge has to mean that our freedom is taken away. So, this is a philosophical analysis. From a little more practical point of view, what it means is that if there are three roads on our path. There is a road over here. You know, this road goes to a rocky area. This road is a smooth road. And this road goes into a dead end. Now, if someone takes a particular road, we know eventually what is going to happen. So, it's that choices are connected with consequences. So, which choice will lead to which consequence is known to a person who knows the whole area. But that does not still mean that person forces a person to make a particular choice. Similarly, when Krishna, he knows the future in the sense that he knows there are certain choices that lead to certain consequences, but still he gives us free will by which we can choose. Secondly, and more importantly, in the spiritual realm, more important than knowledge is love. That means, if you see, when Krishna performs Krishna Lila, he knows what is going to happen. It is he who is performing the past. It is he who knows, that when I want to steal butter, Yashoda Maya is going to come from here, and then she is going to catch me, then I want to run here, then this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Now, Krishna knows everything. So sometimes, when there is some suspense novel, then somebody says, this is a very good mystery novel. This is a very suspense novel. Don't tell the story to me. Don't tell that, otherwise you'll spoil all the fun. So, there, in that sort of mystery novel, the fun is in knowing. Whereas, when there is love between two people, you know, the joy is in the doing. It's not so much in the knowing. Knowing is there, but the joy is in the doing. So Krishna loves Yashoda Maya loves Krishna, and in just their reciprocation there is joy. So it is not necessary that the event happening in a particular way and this happening or that happening, that's what brings joy. It's just the reciprocation that brings joy. So in the spiritual realm, more important than knowledge is the expression of affection. So for other sadhakas, irrespective of whether Krishna knows or not our future, what is more important is that we have the opportunity to express our affection to Krishna. And by expressing our affection to Him, we can experience higher spiritual happiness. And ultimately, so what applies to the spiritual realm? See, now it is not only Krishna who knows what pastimes is going to do. Krishna has certain assistants, associates who participate in the pastimes, and some associates who set the scene for the pastimes. Like we have Purnamasi or we have Yogamaya especially. And she's setting the scenes for the pastimes. And when she does that, the whole purpose is that she knows what is going to happen and still she relishes it. So, the same principle, so what applies to the spiritual world, I said, in the spiritual world, knowing is not as important as doing and loving through that. The same applies to other sadhakas. So we don't have to bother whether, you know, if Krishna knows the future, then does Krishna know when I am going to go to him, when I am going to attain him? And then if I am going to go to him after 10 lifetimes, then maybe I can practice bhakti after 10 lifetimes. Why practice now? No. The point is, even if we are going to go to Krishna after 10 lifetimes, if you are practicing bhakti, those 10 lifetimes will be much richer. We will be much better. In our existence here, we will be much better in our contributions, whatever we can do for others. So the point is, we can, even if it is after 10 lifetimes, we'll go to Krishna, still those 10 lifetimes also we can be experiencing Krishna Prem, even if it is not a very advanced level, but still we can experience love for Krishna, experience the higher life devoted to Him in this world. So if we shift that focus, you know, as devotees, we're not really concerned so much about the future. Yes, we want to attain Krishna, but our focus is on loving Krishna. So, I came from India to America. Suppose I had come here to meet someone. And I had not met that person before. So then I come to America and then I knock, I find the address, I knock on that door. The person opens the door. And then I say, oh, this person was sitting right next to me in my flight. Throughout my flight. But because I did not know this person, so I did not know this was the person I was going to meet. So like that, you know, Krishna is not just someone whom we will attain when we attain Krishna Loka. Krishna is right next to us in our own hearts. Sarvasti chaham hridisannivishtu is right now in our hearts. So it is not that the opportunity to connect with Krishna depends on our attaining Him in some distant future. That opportunity is there right now. Even though we may not realize and relish it as much as we will when we become purified. But still that opportunity is there right now. So the whole essence of bhakti is, you know, what we can do to connect with Krishna now. How we can love and serve Krishna right now. So the whole Krishna's, whether it is omniscience or it is Krishna's omnipotence. Whether Krishna knows past, present, future, that is omniscience. So omnipotence is whether He can do anything and everything. Now all these attributes are subordinated for the purpose of love. See, Krishna is omnipotent. How can Mother Yashoda die? But still, He, for the sake of reciprocating love, He lets Himself get tied. And so, just as Krishna in Krishna Lila focuses not on His Godhood, but on the reciprocation of love. Similarly, when we are practicing bhakti, we don't focus too much on His Godhood. We focus, in the sense that, certainly we focus on His Godhood so that we subordinate ourselves to Him. But when it comes to practicing bhakti, we focus not on on His Godhood, but on the principle of offering our love to Him. Clear? Yes. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class.